Now, this is quite a significant passage of Scripture in respect to prayer, and I've given this brief address the title, Why Pray? And it's an important question, and the question has been asked recently, what is the purpose of prayer? And we can put it in these terms, can't we? If God is sovereign, which he is, if he has everything under his control, and he has his purposes and his holy will, and he's determined that his will should be performed come what may, and all men, unbelieving men, and even the forces of hell cannot overthrow God's purposes, what's the point of praying? Because our poor prayers surely are not going to change the unchangeable God. Now, that on the surface looks like a watertight argument against praying, as I want to show that's not a biblical perspective of prayer at all. But on the surface, that may be a temptation some people pass through. What's the point of praying? Because our prayers will not change the unchanging God. So this whole theme and this matter deals with the doctrine of prayer, as well as the experience and the practice of prayer. And I think it's important that we try and think this through from a biblical perspective. The first thing to say, the three things really, but the first thing to say, we are to pray because we are exhorted to pray. God himself has told us we should pray. He has called us to prayer. And you remember the Lord has said in various places along these lines, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. There's a very definite call to prayer. And then you think of the parable of the unjust judge in Luke chapter 18, and the Lord Jesus begins by summarizing that parable before he actually gives the parable by saying men ought always to pray and not to faint. So again, you have a very direct exhortation to pray, and prayer is us coming to the Lord, acknowledging our need, our weakness, our dependence upon him, and our indebtedness to him. So prayer is important. For that reason, we are exhorted to pray. Secondly, prayer, if it's real prayer, if it's humble prayer and believing prayer, then it's the means whereby our will is conformed to God's will. Of course, it's all the wrong way around if we somehow imagine that our praying somehow will cause God to bend his will to ours. Somehow he is obliged to do what we think he ought to do because we've prayed. It's all the wrong way around, isn't it? Prayer, if it's real, is the means whereby our will is conformed to God's will. You think of Saul of Tarsus, how quickly he learned this lesson. This proud Pharisee who was determined to try and destroy the early New Testament church. When the Lord struck him down on the road to Damascus, his first response was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He wanted to know the Lord's will. That was the very first thing he wanted to know. He'd been doing his own will. Now he wanted to do the Lord's will alone. And you think of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Surely this is the ultimate example regarding prayer. He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. So we are to pray because we are exhorted to pray. Secondly, we pray because prayer conforms our will to God's will. But I think the clearest answer, of course, to this seeming conundrum regarding God's will and our prayers is that the prayer of faith is part of God's purpose and will. Yes, he's purposed an end and he's going to bring his end to pass. He's going to bring a fulfillment to his great purposes. His will is going to be performed. But he has purposed that your prayers and my prayers should be part of the outworking of that purpose. And that surely is how we should understand prayer from a biblical perspective. And let me give you an example here from Daniel's prophecy. Notice in verse 2 that he was there in Babylon, of course. He'd been there for 68 years. And he comes across the writings of Jeremiah and he realizes that 70 years were very soon to be completed. 70 years had been prophesied by Jeremiah. He realized that they were now very close to the end of that period of exile. It may be he was reading that part of Jeremiah's prophecy which speaks about 70 years should be accomplished, and then God says he will punish the king of Babylon. And that had recently happened, hadn't it? Belshazzar, in the midst of the feasting, there was the writing on the wall, and very soon he came to the end of his days. That very night, King Belshazzar died. So God was punishing the king of Babylon, and Daniel, reading the prophecy of Jeremiah, realized that very soon the exile would be over. Now, if Daniel was a carnal man, he might have looked at it from a rational point of view and said, well, it's nearly over, let's sit back and wait for it to happen. But he didn't. He got on his knees because he realized that prayer, the prayer of faith, is part of God's purpose. Yes, God was determined to bring this purpose to fruition, that the captivity should be over very soon. But he'd also purposed that Daniel should pray, and there may well have been many others praying with him to the same end. And you see the wonderful way in which his prayers were answered. The end, towards the end of the chapter, it says in verse 25, the end of that verse, regarding Jerusalem, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. There was a confirmation that Jerusalem would be inhabited again, it would be rebuilt. And it's a remarkable fact of history, isn't it, that Cyrus the Persian king led the people back to rebuild the city. He assisted them in this extensive project. But something even more remarkable happens, because not only did God confirm that the captivity would soon be over, he confirmed the coming of the Messiah. And that's there, of course, in that same verse, the Messiah, the Prince. And you can read those verses for yourselves regarding the promises concerning Christ who was to come. One commentator puts it like this, regarding Daniel's prayer, his prayer was a providential means of accomplishing what was already determined. I rather like the way Joseph Hart puts it in one of his hymns. Prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. It's a very concise way of putting it. Prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. So prayer has been appointed just as much as God's designs as well. So the end purpose will be fulfilled, but through the prayers of his people. And surely this is a great incentive to us to pray, seeking to pray according to God's will, as led by the Holy Spirit. Well, many other examples, of course, could be given to you of how you see the same thing working out in the lives of other saints of Old Testament times. They had a clear understanding of the connection between prayer and God's fulfilling his purposes. Another way, of course, of describing prayer is laying hold of omnipotence. And that's exactly what we do, isn't it? Here we are in all our weakness and uncertainty and all our difficulties sometimes, but in prayer we come to the Lord laying hold of his omnipotence. So let us have that thought in our minds this evening as we turn to the Lord Jesus.